Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Arizona Good Business Radio, featuring leaders in the Arizona business community working to build a lasting impact throughout our state through doing good business. I'm your host, Thomas Barr, Vice President of Business Development at Local First Arizona. We are a statewide organization advocating for and celebrating locally owned businesses. We're the largest local business coalition in North America, providing resources to over 3,000 small businesses and raising awareness of the benefits of building a strong local economy. Today, we are really excited to invite our partner, A1 Locksmith and Security Center, to the show. I'd like to welcome Ruben Davis, president and owner, and Tim Shaw, the founder of the company, to our show today. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So would like to get to both of you, but Tim, let's start with you. Would love to just hear a little bit about the company. I know you guys have been in business since 1979. What was it like founding the company with your father?
It was quite an experience, and it was a fantastic time. It actually started earlier for both of us, technically. My father, at that point, is in high school, started looking into a job at O'Malley's back in the day, and that used to be what's considered now the Home Depot of the day.
Okay.
And so he played with selling locks during the daytime, and it became something we just enjoyed doing, installing for the customers after hours. It became kind of his side job.
Gotcha. Very cool. And was that in Arizona? Or that
that was here. Yes, that okay. We were working out of our house, out of a back of Dodge Colt.
Okay. And what part of town is that?
Near Coronado High School.
Okay. Tempe?
No, that's actually Scottsdale in that area.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
That's Scottsdale.
Okay.
Go Dons.
Very cool. Well, obviously, the business has lasted quite some time, and I know you're recently retired, and Ruben, you've come in and are now the owner of the company. What has it been like to transition ownership and, you know, maintain a legacy of a business that's been around for so long?
That's actually worked out really well. That was one of my fears, kind of. I wasn't planning on selling it as soon as I have, but how things evolved and with Ruben approaching me in discussions some early on, which I'd never had it for sale technically, I saw an opening for a perfect fit for it to continue.
Sure.
Because it's not a cut and dry, I don't know how far this discussion is going to go at what point, but it's not a normal just cut and dry lock shop. We kind of specialize and morphed. And what he knows is a great asset.
Gotcha.
To have that continue. And so I'm feeling very comfortable with that.
Well, I can only imagine that running a locksmith business in 1979 was much different than it is today in 2021.
Oh, totally. Totally. Yes. And things evolved, and it was the best job anybody could ever have, believe me.
Cool. Well, Ruben, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and how you came to now be the owner of the company.
All right. My career started out in the military. I joined actually when I was 17, and I went into aviation and then jumped over into law enforcement after a couple years in canine work. So a lot of my experience in security and safety and background started with the military. Mm. After I exited the military, I worked for a couple of corporations, and I ended up working for a large security integrator who specialized in selling access control, burglar alarms, video camera systems, things along those lines. And I worked in that organization for a couple of years, and that's how I met Tim. Tim was our subcontractor, did all of our specialized locking hardware for our different security systems, and developed a good business relationship with him. So what led us to coming to this point in time was I like to read, and I came across a book by the Harvard Business Review called Buying and Selling Small Businesses, and that it was basically a direction for young entrepreneurs like myself looking for ways to establish or take over small businesses in their communities. After reading this book and letting the idea stew and having had some different conversations with Tim and knowing that he was wanting to get to that point where he could start spending more time with his family, one day I just gave him a phone call and I was like, hey, you just tell me to be quiet if this is out of line. But I was like, would you be interested in selling your business?
Cool.
And from there, our conversations more from our business relationship to the transfer and acquisition, and I would actually say a mentor-mentee relationship. Tim didn't just transition his business to me; he took over a role on teaching me and guiding me in the different aspects where I was weak, with the locksmithing side to ensure that the transition with the company would be very strong and we would be able to continue to take care of our employees and the local community that we serve.
Gosh, I love that so much. You know, the number of times I hear stories of businesses, especially in Arizona, who have been around 25, 30, 40 years and they close. And when there probably may have been an opportunity for a transition to happen for the employees or the staff who have all the knowledge, expertise, but might not have the know-how of running or buying a business, it's so great to hear that you invested the time to coach, train, and get Ruben to the point where he was ready to be the owner. Yeah. What was that like?
That was one of my biggest, not fears, but goals. So I don't want to phrase this, is the continuation, because we have so many accounts built up so many years. We do hospitals. We do the cities like City of Tempe. We do their work.
Oh, wow.
We do banks. We do property management. And I didn't, and also my employees are extremely long-term.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, extremely.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to have any failures or drop-offs.
Yeah.
And so that's why, I mean, I really was motivated and Ruben really stepped up well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's been a really good transition. He's really picked up, has dreams and desires where I was just going with the flow.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I bet after 40 years, you're just going with the flow.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask a little bit about, you know, we mentioned a minute ago how things have changed since 1979, I'm sure. What was it like locksmithing in the 80s? And tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that is strictly locksmithing. Back in that time, there still is an organization called ALOA. It's Associated Locksmiths of America.
Okay.
And they came up with designations to try to increase our industry, like to show that, hey, we're certified.
Okay.
And so there was different progressions. There's registered locksmith, there's certified professional locksmith, and there's certified master locksmith. There's different levels.
Yeah.
And so there's courses you have to know, there's testing. And so I was motivated because I was excited. I love this industry.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, it was strictly a lot of standard locks. Like the testing now for these things are so intense mm-hmm. because you think of the electronics that have grown, the foreign automotive that's evolved, all the technologies. So I was kind of easy when I say it this way, but I was very thrilled with what I was able to do. I've even taught some classes at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And looking back at it, we evolved because of the customers evolving. The company that Ruben was working for a long time ago, technically Tyco / ADT before that. But basically, they started putting their card readers in the very beginning in one of my best accounts. It was MicroAge.
Gotcha.
That was back in the 80s.
Mm.
And they were one of my biggest accounts. And their locksmiths / supporters were butchering the doors.
Oh, wow.
And MicroAge said, no, you can't use them. You have to use Tim.
Mm.
And so they had to use me, and they liked me.
The way business used to be.
Yes.
Just call Tim.
Yes. Yeah. And so then it was, I never did a cold call in my life. But they moved on to another business, another competitor or a technician moved on, and they brought me with them.
Gotcha. Very cool.
So that's where we've really excelled is supporting, in my opinion, the supporting and working with the Access Electronic.
Well, what I've felt since knowing Ruben and getting to know the company and all of that is that you take a real relationship-based approach to doing business. I mean, I feel like we all can relate to the, you know, horror stories of the time we, you know, left our keys in our car or got locked out of our house and just Googled the first locksmith we could find and, you know, they charged us $800 or whatever it was. Maybe you've had the experience, maybe not, but we worked with you on our Macy Kitchen just a couple of weeks ago to get a new lock installed. And I remember reaching out to Ruben saying, hey, you know, we're looking to do this. Here's what our team is looking at purchasing. And Ruben was like, actually, that's probably not what you need. And we'd love to come in and bring our expertise and make sure that you guys are set for success. So Ruben, how has that commitment been for you in ensuring that these years of relationship-focused approaching doing business with others is a priority for you as you take over the company?
So when I first met Tim, that was the biggest thing that stood out to me. There's something about being able to work with somebody and know that when you reach out to them, that they're going to be prompt, they're going to be to the point, and they're going to provide you the best resolution in your best interest. And that's just the way I've always enjoyed doing business. So following his lead and just combine it with the different skill sets I developed through management and sales on how to identify those needs and those challenges that your customers have. Mm-hmm. I've carried that over with just the way we communicated. During the transition process, Tim reached out to all of our major accounts and people that we worked with on a regular basis still and explained to them what was going on and had a nice warm transitionary period where I had an opportunity to meet them,
cool,
whether at different events or jobs, and then just try and maintain that same level of expectation. Rather than having this as a coming in and shaking it up, more of a baton handoff where I got a nice running start. Tim came up behind me, handed the baton, and now we're continuing on and we're focusing on not just providing the best customer service, but also providing the newest technologies and best options as security and safety requirements develop for different businesses.
Sure. Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about the services that are being provided by the company today. I imagine they're a little different than when things started. How? What are you providing to, is it commercial, is it residential? What is it that you provide?
So we provide both residential and commercial. We provide locksmithing for commercial and residential locations, and that's everything from getting your home rekeyed, installing locking hardware, same for a small business. Mm-hmm. The more in-depth side on our access control side would be your mag locks, electric strikes, some standalone card reading options, as well as electrified locking levers, hardwares, panic hardware. Basically, if you've ever walked up to a building and swiped your badge on something, if you look at all the electrified parts of it, that's what we specialize in. And we, I'm fortunate between Tim's expertise and the team that he built prior to, who's still with us, we have some of the best, the most talented installers who they're experienced. They can go in and look at something that's going to be a disaster. People will be like, you can't install that. You can't fix that. And we either create the hardware or the platform for that material. And the guys go in and they make it not just work correctly, but look aesthetically pleasing.
Very cool. Very cool. I love all of that. Tim, I wanted to get back to you on something you mentioned earlier, which was it's the best job in the world, or the best job that you could have.
Oh, yes.
Let's dig into that a little bit. Why is working for A1 or locksmithing or however you meant that, why is this the best job?
Well, a couple things. First off, just myself, I didn't like to be behind a desk a lot. And I like to play.
Mm-hmm.
And with all this hardware and meeting new people, new projects, it's just constantly changing. It's just something that gets me excited. I love the pressure also when I was under pressure. At the moment, looking back, I was like, I didn't enjoy some of this. But looking back, it kept me motivated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And just even with some defeats, like in the sense of, that didn't go as planned, you step back and go, I'm going to get this to work. And I just enjoyed the challenge of then making it work.
Sure.
And
sure.
Just the meeting all the people. I mean, in the morning, I might be installing a safe in the ground. And then my next job's at this president of the CEO company's president's office. I'm working on his lock hardware in his office.
Yeah.
And it's quite a spectrum.
Yeah.
And until the phone rings, you really don't know your full schedule.
Mm-hmm.
This is something you know, we can place our bigger jobs and book them down. We know our basic schedule, but
sure.
People don't call them and say, hey, my safe opened this morning.
Right.
It's usually an issue.
Wake up every day, don't know what's coming.
But that's where I enjoyed it, just meeting all these people. And again, how long I've been in doing this, it's where I started feeling like, you're retiring too? I mean, I went through so many people, I feel like I've trained them, mm-hmm. my customers.
You know?
It's like, I'm losing you. Yeah, it's like, and that's another place where it expanded, where again, I was so fortunate because it might be a property manager that moves us to another location. They go, we're going to call A1 because they know how to do that.
Yeah.
You know, why are we dealing with this problem here?
Yeah.
Let's solve it by calling them. So that's my natural progressions was just, I didn't want to make anybody upset having to look for somebody else.
Sure. Today, I have these conversations a lot with, people in the community about how we're seeing less and less young people interested in the trades, whether that's your industry or HVAC, plumbing, technicians, welding, like all of these trades, they're seeing less and less interest. If you were to say something to, you know, the next up and coming generation looking for jobs and were selling your industry to them, what would you tell them?
Well, right off the bat, I mean, I agree with you. When I have to, now Ruben has to, if we have to advertise or try to find an employee, it is harder than it used to be.
Yeah.
And as an industry standard, not just my saying A1 compared to our competitor down the street, but our industry pays very well. I feel our employees are well paid.
Sure.
The younger crowd moving into work might want to check things a little bit more than they just assume. It's not like you heard the term, I'm a locksmith.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like taking a file to a key now.
Yeah.
This is not that.
Yeah.
This is a very precise industry. The hardware is extremely good. We're talking about the door electronic hardware. My biggest compliment to me is when a technician comes behind us, if we do our work, and he goes, you didn't do your work yet.
Mm.
Why didn't you come out and do this? I said, yes, it is. They just don't see it.
Mm.
Yeah, there's so much intrigue in this business. And that's where I think people don't know that.
Yeah.
And so that would be the learning curve to me is show them, let them be aware of this is a fantastic industry.
Sure. Absolutely. Ruben, what has your experience been like in the industry? Obviously, learning the tools you would need to be successful, not from maybe the business owner perspective, but like, the technicalities involved, right? You, as the owner of a company, you've kind of got to have all the answers for the most part, right? Or at least know somebody that does, or have somebody on your team that knows how to do all of the things. What has your experience been like growing in the industry, getting to know it, and enjoying it?
I've been fortunate. Like I said before, and I can't reiterate enough, the team around me is really what has led to my success. I mean, I get to direct the ship and taking the opportunities to learn and get my hands into the material with my team. And I've learned an invaluable amount of different techniques and installs and just a variety of things from my guys. I've also, my background with the military, that time I spent in aviation gave me some technical know-how, and I've done some other hands-on trade type of work. But I was completely new to the locksmithing side of the house. And the team itself is really where I've drawn all my experience. I came in with some books and was reading and trying to learn some of the different things that were publicized for locksmiths in the past, but getting out there and actually working with the different locksmiths and the access guys has been a huge stepping stone for me. It really tied together a lot of the business aspect sides that I had and the more electronic side of the house that I've had been experienced with.
That's awesome. So I want to ask both of you a question. And obviously, Tim, you've got 40 years to think back on. Ruben, maybe a little bit less time. Mm-hmm. But what is the craziest, most interesting job that you've been called to take care of? Maybe it was a really cool site, or maybe you showed up and you couldn't believe what you saw. Let's start with you, Tim.
Well, that's a great question. I've really had an awful lot of funny ones. I mean, from police drawing their guns on me when I'm opening locks at night.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. It's not their fault at all.
Sure.
It's just a neighbor called saying,
sure.
You know, because we work with unmarked vans.
Yeah.
Things. So I can appreciate that. Probably the most craziest, frustrating, I don't know how much time you have. I'll just do a quick one, and it's actually more embarrassing. I had to go in. They were replacing the front door for Senator McCain's old unit down in
the Biltmore.
In the Biltmore.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're made in Canada, these doors, and they're having little defects in them. And he had electric lever on his front entry door. And so I had to come in and core the new door to get wires through to it. And right during it, I burst his door. I broke it.
Oh, wow. His team's probably like standing around you watching.
Yeah, just broke the door. And at that moment, my son was in deployed in Iraq, and he called me just when he doesn't have usually a chance to. And he called right after I did that. It's like, Nick, I love you, but you know, I got to go. So that one sticks out in my mind an awful lot.
Sure. Oh, wow. What an interesting experience. Yeah, I've been
in that building before, and I can only imagine the feeling of doing that there. So, yeah. Ruben, how about you?
I don't have any really cool experiences on blowing out any doors, but I have got to visit a couple really amazing corporation sites here throughout Arizona. I'm not sure which ones I'd really be allowed to share.
That's okay.
But there's some electric vehicle makers out there and hydrogen producers. And having the opportunity to go into these different sites and industries that are coming to Arizona has been amazing. Not just to see the facilities, but also to step back and recognize just how much Arizona itself is growing and attracting these different types of industries to our valley.
Yeah, that's really cool. I didn't even think about that. So kind of transitioning to, we talked a lot about the past and the growth and the transition, but what does the future of the company look like? Start with you, Ruben. Obviously, you're in the driver's seat now. How many employees do you have now? What do things look like in the next few years? And maybe insight on the industry. How is the industry going to evolve?
So right now we have 10 full-time employees.
Cool.
With the goal to continue to grow and expand our footprint. Right now we cover all of Arizona.
Oh, wow.
Just Phoenix Valley for like emergency services, but we do some contracting work throughout the state. And as our skills and our quality of work is more and more recognized, I've noticed an increase in that request.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the industry, it still has a lot of the very basic mechanics of your everyday locking hardware.
Sure.
But as technology grows, and so does the desire for tracking the access of people and having the ease of providing access to different locations, like Airbnbs, for instance.
Yeah.
I foresee a lot more electrified hardware coming into the industry where it's not going to just be coming up and plugging in a piece of electronic and saying, okay, that door is now locked. But you still have to have that technical expertise of somebody to come in and modify the hardware and the door to accept that locking material. So I see locksmiths not just continuing what they've done before, but also having to learn how to do certain electronics and how those integrate into different systems as we become a lot more technologically advanced as a society.
Yeah, interesting. I didn't even think about that the times I've stayed in different places, and it's a keypad, and you know, you're given the instructions and that kind of stuff. So that's super interesting to think about. Tim, you're retired now, obviously have coached, guided, gotten Ruben to where he's at. How much do you see yourself involved in continuing to make sure, you know, leaving the nest completely, maybe, and seeing how Ruben continues to grow the company?
Well, as Ruben said, and I should have said it more myself, the crew we have is fantastic.
Yeah.
And I'm taking this probably a compliment on my back when I say this, but they haven't called me near as much as I thought they're going to. And I'm missing it. I have helped with some safe techniques, some things of that nature, but it's really a self-generating, self-knowledgeable group.
Cool.
And so very fortunate on that. So I'm seeing no problems continuing as this is.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. Well, we're so appreciative of the partnership and working with you. And like I mentioned before, have seen firsthand the high quality work you do and the customer experience and a relationship-based approach you take to things. So we're just grateful to have you as a partner. Anything you'd like to leave our audience with regarding the company that we haven't talked about already?
I'd like to mention one thing I've mentioned earlier at some point, and I need to. My wife, Jan, has been my rock.
Mm.
She's been doing the bookkeeping and paperwork and keeping me straight and narrow.
Yeah.
Since the early 80s.
Wow.
She stepped up, and I wouldn't be able to be where I am without her. I know that for a fact, because she made sure we did everything right.
Yeah.
And so I need to throw out a, I love you, honey.
That's incredible. Incredible. I love it. Ruben, anything from you?
And Jan has still been helping me out with the books. As
great.
We've had some transition, she's been stellar. Definitely goes without saying, she has been an integral part of assisting me as well. Through this transition. As for the company, I would like to just let everyone know, especially the younger generation, that while college, and I have been to college, is a great opportunity to get credentialed and get experienced and exposed to different people from different backgrounds and learn different items.
Yeah.
the trades definitely are looking for people out there who are inquisitive, are looking for puzzles, so to speak, and enjoy working with their hands and having new opportunities in front of them every day. And I encourage anyone out there that's interested in to reach out to your local locksmith or tradesman and see what type of opportunities they might have for you, because we want you.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, appreciate you both being on the show today. Thanks so much for sharing your story and for all that you do.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Thank you very much.
Awesome. Well, we hope you listening were inspired today, checking in with these business leaders working to leave a legacy in Arizona through doing good business. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Phoenix Business Radio X, for hosting us and all of our legacy partners at Local First Arizona, including A1 Locksmith. This is Thomas Barr from Local First Arizona, reminding you that if we want to build a better place, we need to connect deeply with the local businesses that make us proud to call this place our home.